Living Hope Assembly of God.
Grab your Bible and turn with me to Romans chapter 8. We started this part of the series in Romans chapter 8. The last 3 weeks we've been in Romans chapter 8. And so we're going to continue there. But we're going to read verses 18. Romans chapter 8. And we're going to start at verse 28. And we're going to go from there. Let me get there myself. And verse 28. We'll start at verse 28. If you'll stand this morning, I'm going to try to get in a better habit of standing for the reading of God's word. And this is the Apostle Paul speaking to a suffering church. He's encouraging their hearts during this hard time of life. So oftentimes, suffering and discouragement can cause us to have a skewed view of God's plan, God's desires for our lives. So we have to be careful that when we're going through something, that our focus is on God. No matter what you're going through, God, He has a plan in the midst of everything that we go through. Amen? Amen. I can share testimony after testimony, as many of you have testimonies of God's goodness and how God has shown Himself faithful when you have gone through or is going through a difficult season in your life. Here it is, verse 28. We know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, those who are called according to His purpose. For those whom He foreknew, He predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, so that He might be the firstborn of many brothers, among many brothers. And those whom He predestined, He also called. And those whom He also called, He also justified. And those whom He justified, He also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? It is Christ who died. Yes, who is risen, who is also at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, neither angels nor principalities nor powers, neither things present nor things to come, neither height nor depth nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Father, be glorified today. Speak to our hearts, God. May we leave this place understanding that you are for us. You are for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. When God is for you, today this is what I want. If you're taking notes, this is going to be actually the third part of what we're going to write down. In the last couple weeks we talked about when God is for us, His glory will be revealed in us. When God is for us, His Spirit will help us. But in all of those instances, when we understand that His glory will be revealed for in us and His Spirit will help us, it means that that is true, but we play a part in it as well. And when we understand that God is for us, no matter what you're going through, no matter what difficult situation you're facing, when you trust God and depend on Him, His glory will be revealed in you. And when we depend and trust in God, I promise you, His Spirit will help you. His Spirit will enable you to do what you cannot do in your own strength. If we ever needed the Spirit of God, we need it today. If we ever needed to trust in God, we need to trust in Him now. Amen. We are living in very dark times. Amen. If we're not careful, we'll find ourselves falling to the wayside. We'll find ourselves missing God at every turn. We don't want to miss God. In order to follow God, in order to know God's plan, we have to follow the leading of the Spirit. The Spirit of God is the most important thing in the life of the believer. In fact, Ephesians 1 and 13 says that he is the one that seals us. Amen. He is the proof that we belong to God, according to Ephesians 1 and 13 and Romans chapter 6, that if we don't have the Spirit of God in us, we are none of his. And I have to wonder sometimes, with all of the chaos and the craziness that's going on in the world and Christians acting like the world, I have to wonder, man, have we placed the Spirit of God on a shelf? Have we put him to the side in our lives? And are we not living out what God has desired for us? Amen. I look on social media, it's bad. It's really bad. When you look on social media, and if you didn't know people personally, you would have to wonder, are they born again? There's a way that a believer acts. There's a way a believer talks. And I don't care how many slick, silver-tongued preachers preach, we are to be different than the world. Bottom line, that's why so many people run from Christianity. That's why so many people walk away from the faith, because it's hard to be who we are. And it takes the help of the Holy Spirit to live this life out. Do you hear what I'm saying? So we need his help. If you look more like the world than like God, you're not living out the purpose for which God created you. We are to be light in the darkness of this world. We are to be salt in this earth. Amen. That is the polar opposite. That those two are not, they don't go together. If you're not light, you're darkness. God, there's no dim light in the kingdom of God. Amen. Because if the Spirit of God is inside of you, the light of the world, which is Christ, you're going to shine bright. Preaching a whole nother message, but we're going to get there this morning. Amen. When God is for you, this is our thought for today. When God is for you, all things, somebody say all things will work together for your good. Not some things, but all things. But we have to understand Romans 1 and 8, 8 and 1 says that for those who are in Christ. See, that's the key. You know why we keep failing and falling and flipping and falling and flipping and falling and flipping and falling? And then we find some theology, some belief system, some doctrine that helps us to be okay and put a band-aid over a inward wound. You know why many of us keep falling and flipping over time and time again? It's because we're failing to walk in the Spirit. We're failing to be in Christ. There's power in Christ. Outside of that, man, it's not good. Every time. I know there's a sinful nature, but the Bible says that the sin nature, the flesh, is at war with the Spirit. So if they are at war with, if there's a spiritual war going on inside of you, and there's a spiritual war going on inside of me, that means one of those entities are going to take us captive. Which one have you captive? Which one are you subject to? Which one are you obeying? Which one are you living out? See, Paul made it cut and dry. He didn't leave no gray area. See, when we take the flesh captive and beat it into subjection, guess who we look like? I can go home off of that one. All things work together for the good. And I want you to hear this. Of those who love God. Those who love God. This is not a promise to the unfaithful. I want you to get your head around that. I know many people in the world, they're quoting this passage of scripture. They're using it. Paul is talking to the church in this text. Do you hear me? He's talking to you in this text. And he's talking to a suffering church. He's saying that all things are going to work out for your good at the end of the day. Have you ever faced a situation and you had to wonder, man, I don't know if this is going to work out. This doesn't look like it's going to work out. It is a promise to those who are willing to trust in him in spite of their difficulties, their troubles, their persecutions and sufferings. God is going to bring good out of your situations. Sometimes good does not mean that all things will feel good. Do you hear me? If it's about a feeling, most of the time, many of us, we might as well go home. If it was about a feeling, the Apostle Paul would have given up inside of a Roman prison. If it's about a feeling, man, many of the disciples would have said, man, this is not worth it. I promise you today, it is not a feeling. If it were about a feeling, Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, the Mount of Olives, the place of the press, he would have given up when he was being pressed on every side. And we're going to see in our text today the same illustration, the same thing that Jesus faced with this pressing. The Apostle Paul talks about it. If it's about a feeling, I might as well fold up my tent and go home. But all things are going to work out for the good. The Apostle Paul understood that there would be seasons where faith would be the only thing that a believer would have. If you'll turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 7 through 12. And the Apostle Paul says, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. I want to hold there for a moment. We carry around the remembrance, the idea, the thought of what Jesus did. And Paul wanted to live that out. He wanted that to be the example of his life. He wanted people to see the same way Christ died. Man, I'm willing to give my life. I'm willing to lay down my life. He always carried around the remembrance of Jesus. When you face life, man, we need to carry around the remembrance of Jesus. And he said, we always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. Man, let's look at it this way. I'm going to say it again. When we start to kill this flesh, the spirit comes alive in us. In other words, the spirit of God can use you for the glory of God. I don't know if you know your purpose or not. Every single one of us were created to bring glory to God. I know there's a saying that everybody's God's children. No, we're not. We're all God's creation, but not all of us are God's children. Those of us who are God's children are those of us who have committed and submitted our lives to him. He said, in fact, that if you love me, you would keep my commandments. Do you hear what I'm saying? In another passage of scripture, paraphrasing, it says that if we don't obey him and obey his commands, that we are children of the devil. There's no in between in that. There's no gray area in that. You're either Christian or you're not. You're either saved or you're not. There's no in between. There's no fence riding in the kingdom of God. You're either for him or you're against him. Do you hear what I'm saying to you this morning, church? For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may also be revealed in our mortal body. So then death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. I want to go back to my thought, fix your perspective. Here at this point, the Apostle Paul is saying, listen, I am willing to do without. I am willing to die so that Christ can be revealed in your life. I want to ask you a question today. Have we arrived at that place that we're willing to die so that someone else could hear the gospel and someone else could come to know Jesus? Are we at that point, church? Are we willing to sacrifice all so that one person can come to know Jesus? Are we willing to give of our time? Are we willing to give of our efforts? Are we willing to give of our lives? Are we willing to make some risky sacrifices on behalf of the kingdom of God? It's all about sacrifice. The Apostle Paul saying in this text, listen, we're pressed on every side. We're pressed on, how did he say it? He says that we're pressed on every side, but not crushed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. Why in the world was the Apostle Paul not any of those things that he contrasted himself to? It's because he had the Spirit of God alive inside of him. Amen. Do you hear me, church? God, when God has placed a call on your life, listen, I don't care if you work at the factory down the street. I don't care if you work wherever you work, whatever you're doing. Listen, you are called by God to be his witness. Do you hear what I'm saying, church? God has a plan for your life. And man, don't waste God's plan for your life. Don't waste God's desires for your life. Fix your perspective today. Get your life in line with what God is wanting to do. Kill that Sigmund Freud type ego. And it's all about me. It's all about what I can get. It's all about what I can gain. And start saying, God, what do you want to do in my life? At the last day, I want to say like the Apostle Paul, that I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. And there is a reward laid up for me in heaven. And I cannot wait to get it. But not only for me, but all of those who faithfully fight and love his appearance. Do you love Jesus today? Amen. If we love Jesus, we'll be doing exactly what God has called us to do. Amen? Amen. Letting go, we have to let go of some things, and we have to let go at times of things that we hold near and dear to us. There are some things in our lives that we got to let go of if we want to be all what God desires for us to be. And he says all things will work out for your good. I want you to grab a hold of this. And oftentimes, the work is the process in which the Lord uses to work some things out of us. He said that all things will work out for your good. But the work oftentimes is a process that the Lord uses to work some things out of us. It's kind of like the refiner's fire. When we go through the fire, some things are going to be burnt off. When you go through the fire, there's some things that you're going to have to let go of. There's some things you cannot hold on to if you want to be what God has called you to be. But too many times, we hold on to it with our little grubby paws, and we don't want to let it go. And the very blessings that God has given us has now become a curse. And God is saying, let it go so I can use you in the way that I desire to use you. The Apostle Paul had to empty himself. The Apostle Peter had to empty himself. The Apostle James had to empty himself. And if you want to be used by God, you have to empty yourself. Amen. One of the greatest things many of us can empty ourselves of is stinking thinking. Amen. Thinking that we don't add up. Thinking that we'll never accomplish anything. Man, but you can do all things through Christ that strengthens us. All things. Nothing is impossible for you if you believe. What is impossible for your God? Nothing. Oftentimes we have to let go. We have to let go so God can get some things out of us. The runner in a race that often wins are those who lose the most weight. and are able to extract the most clothing so that nothing will hold them back from winning the race. Do you hear me? Have you ever seen a sprinter? They got on less clothing as possible. And the reason why they're wearing less clothes is possible because they don't want anything to hold them down. So the first thing I had to do when I was born again, I had to let go of some friends. I had to let go of some places. I had to let go of some things. I had to let go of some well-intentioned type people. I had to let go of some outwardly good people and good things and some bad, a whole lot of bad things. Why? Because I was pursuing Christ at this point, and I didn't want anything to hinder me from reaching my goal. Hebrews 12:1 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge cloud of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. Many of us can't see God's plan. We can't hold on to God's promises. We can't bear the stress of the journey because we're carrying so many unnecessary things, and they are hindering us from seeing and being all that God has called us to do and who He has called us to be. We need to let go of some of these things, and we need to fix our perspective and fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Stop looking at your bills and stressing out and wondering how they're going to be paid. Sometimes you need to put that bill in the cabinet, but be realistic and fall on your knees and talk to the sovereign God of heaven. And I promise you when you do that, it won't be nothing but a moment. It may take a little longer than you expected, but I promise you when God comes, He is always on time and He is never late. We're people of faith. We're people of faith. We're trusting God. We're trusting God what seems to be impossible. And many in the world and many of us who are unspiritual, we would say that is absurd. That is the most craziest thing that I have heard for you to have that kind of faith. Hey, can I tell you today that Christianity is kind of crazy. It is kind of weird to the world. Listen, the world don't understand it. They can't comprehend it. Some of us need to fix our perspective, knowing that Christ is for us and knowing that He is in us and understanding our purpose will help us to be victorious. You want to be victorious? Understand that Christ is for you. He's not against us. He's for you. Many of us, we have it hard because we make a stupid mistake and we think God is against us. God can even work in your mess. Amen. Let's be raw and honest with it. Today, there's nobody in this house that's perfect. And if you were to put any of our lives on the grand screen this day, you know what would happen if your life last week would roll past everything you thought, everything you said was placed on this screen. Many of us would tuck our heads and we will run out of this place in shame. But we serve a God that is gracious, a God that is merciful, a God that is forgiving, a God that where His love covers a multitude of faults, where He takes our sins and throw them as far as the east is from the west, a God that desires for you to be victorious when you surrender your life to Him. Does He bring you out of sin so that you can go back to it? No, He brings you out of sin so that you can look back at it as a reminder of His victory that He wrought in your life. Can I get an amen? In the house of God. Victorious. Joseph had to remain faithful while in the pit. Slavery and in prison before God worked out things for his good. Man, Joseph was here before the giving of the Holy Spirit was poured out on God's people. Joseph, we got the Spirit of God living inside of us. Joseph only had faith. Man, I believe, man, the thing, my trust in God should supersede that of Joseph's. I believe that I can trust God for things that seems impossible. Listen, it's hard for me at times to trust God for family members that are lost because they're so far in sin. But I believe if I continue to trust God while I am in a prison, while I'm in a pit, while I'm in slavery, that a matter of time that I'm going to keep lifting my eyes unto the hills from which cometh my help, because all my help comes from the Lord. You know why? Because he is the creator of the heavens and the earth. Weeping may be endured for a night, but joy comes in the morning. All of those different scriptures that we quote, that is about our God, because he is faithful. Listen, I don't know where you're at in your life right now, but listen, God is faithful. He's faithful. In Genesis 20 and 50, 50 and 20, Joseph told his brothers, "You intended it to harm me, but God intended it for good." He's working it out for his good. If I can get a paper towel or something, somebody help me with that. I want to read that again. He says, "You intended it to harm me." He says, "But God is working it for the good." He intended it for the good. That lets me know that the enemy has a plan. The enemy has a desire. Thank you, my brother. But God is greater than the enemy. The enemy. But you know what? I see something in between that as well. The enemy wants to destroy you. I get a picture in my mind. The enemy wants to destroy you. God is over here. The enemy is over here. The enemy's calling out to you, and God is calling out to you all at the same time. The enemy wants to destroy your life, but God is wanting to restore your life. God is wanting to sustain your life. But sometimes if we're not careful, we'll start giving it to the voice of the enemy. And we'll allow the voice of the enemy to drag us over here. And the voice of God is calling us over here. And we start making dumb decisions because out of fear. And the next thing you know, we start living in a house that was not built by God. We start living in a house of fear. And we start working our lives out in a life of fear. We start seeing through it in the eyes of fear. And that's when we come to the conclusion where things are not working out for our good. And at the same time, no matter what state you're in, God is always consistently saying, "I am over here, that I have plans and thoughts for you to prosper you and not to harm you and to bring you to an expected end." But we need to submit to God and give it back to God and allow him to work things out for our good. As the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to grab a hold of the fact that God will use our sufferings to perfect us, to prepare us for ministry and life. You may not see it now, but as you submit your life to God, he'll allow your path to intersect. I want you to grab a hold of this. As I was writing this message, I felt like God gave me this. When you're going through, I just said it like this. Some of your worst times in life, some of your difficult seasons may not be about you at the end of the day at all. Your difficult season, of course, is going to cause you to grow. But your difficult season may be the advice that some hurting soul needs. So even in that moment, in that instance, it seems hard, it seems difficult, it seems like you're not going to ever get over it and above it, it seems like God is not going to ever deliver you, and all of a sudden he delivers you, but he doesn't want you to keep that nugget in your pocket because he wants you to give that jewel, that nugget to somebody else so that their life can be changed as well. It's the whole reciprocal thing called Christianity. Everything, your entire life, it's working out for the good. Everything, every season. When it snows really hard, and it's going to snow eventually, instead of complaining, let's build snowmen. Amen. Do you hear me? Let's do that. If God is working things out for your good, then he will give you what it takes to complete the task. The Bible says in Psalm 36:6, your righteousness is like the highest mountains, your justice like the deep, great deep. You, Lord, preserve both people and animals. If he preserves the animals, scripture says in Matthew 6:26, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Do you hear me, church? Don't ever think that whatever season you're in, that God's not for you, that he's not concerned about you. Child of God, fix your perspective and realize that God is for you. Romans 8:29-30 says, for those whom he foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, so that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. Verse 30, and those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. Paul mentions predestination, and I want you to hold on to this. I want you to grab hold of what I'm saying today. Paul mentions predestination, which has prompted some confusing and unhelpful theologies over the course of time. When thinking about passages like this, there are some important principles to keep in mind. And I want you to hear me. If you're taking notes, take them very quickly. God would like, first of all, for all people to be saved. He's calling all of us to salvation. The Holy Spirit is at work trying to touch every person's life so that they will come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you. He is patient with me, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Can I ask you a question? Will everybody be saved? No, that's universalism. We don't believe in universalism. We believe that many, the Bible says that hell has widened her mouth to receive all of those who are going there. The Bible says that narrow is the way. Man, that's scary, guys. That's really scary. But in this grand scheme of things, God knows about everybody who's going to hell. He's sovereign. He's omniscient. He knows all things. He sees all things. His eyes, behold, the eyes of the Lord are everywhere in the earth, beholding the good and the evil of men. But God has given us free will. God has given us a choice. We have decisions to make. If he did not give us a choice, Adam and Eve would still be in the garden. He would have ran into that garden and slapped that out of Eve's hand and said, no. That's not the case. Number two, as long as we're willing, dealing with predestination, long as we're willing to allow God to work in our lives, he will continue to do so. He will not force you to be his child. Scripture says in James 4:8, come near to God. He's saying come near to God. Who is that talking to? That would be talking to us. Amen. It's telling us, or in other translations, it says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Do you hear what I'm saying? Then the scripture goes on to say, wash your hands, you sinners. Did it say God will wash your hands? No, it says, you wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded people. Listen, we play a role, a part in this grand scheme of things. Do you hear what I'm saying? I know we can't work our way to heaven, but when we are in a relationship, we do have good works. Next, I want you to know about this predestination thing. God has given us the freedom to choose how we respond to him. Deuteronomy 30:19, God says, this day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now you choose. Now choose life so that you and your children may live. Amen. Man, there's a bunch of living dead people walking around. Amen. There's generational curses in people's lives, and we wonder why. Man, you know, for the longest, I struggled with drinking, and I couldn't kick the habit. And you know, one of the things I said as I was witnessing to some people just yesterday, and this is what I remember. I reflected on my life growing up. I remember I was a young teenager, and I was an excessive drinker. I remember saying that I'm going to be just like my daddy. I said that. I said, my daddy's an alcoholic. I'm going to be an alcoholic. My relatives are drug dealers. I'm going to be a drug dealer. My relatives are in gangs. I'm going to be in a gang. And you know what I did? I lived it out. But August 8th, 2001, in Pensacola, Florida, I remember standing at the door of a hotel looking across the street at a McDonald's. And I remember as clear as day, God standing before me in the spirit and saying, today I offer you life and I offer you death. And he says, today you choose. And that day I made up in my mind that I was going to follow God. I had a messed up perspective. How many of you ever had a messed up perspective? Man, we didn't know which way was up. Much of that comes because of our upbringing. So I challenge people, don't believe what I'm saying. Get in God's word for yourself. Don't rely on your upbringing and the way mom and dad is talking about God. Learn and get in a relationship with God for yourself. Amen. From before we were born, we were predestined, our conversion called, and to the forgiveness of our sins, we were justified, and finally to our part in God's kingdom, we're being glorified, if you will. God will continue all throughout the time that we are alive on this earth. He will continue to do a work inside of us, working things out for our good. I'm gonna get through this really fast. To acknowledge that God does not give up on his children was very important for the early century church. That was a struggle that they dealt with, that, man, is God giving up on us? Here in our text, they struggled with that. That's why Paul wrote to this church, and that's why Peter wrote to the struggling church, the persecuted church, because there were moments and seasons in their lives and in their minds where they felt like God was giving up on them. But Paul and Peter were writing to encourage the body of Christ to hold on, because a change is going to come. He's working things out for your good. He's for you, church. But the elephant in the room is, are we for him? Are we for him? Or are we against him? There are seasons and moments in life that I tend to be somewhat obstinate. And that's when life begins to go downhill. The Bible says in Colossians 1 and 17 that God's preserving power is accomplished through his Son, Jesus Christ, who is before all things, and in him is all things. And he is the one that hold all things together. Grab a hold of that. Christ is the hope of glory that holds the believers together in the most severe times in life. Romans 8 and 31. This is what the Apostle Paul says, and we're getting ready to close here in a moment. This is what he says to his listeners. What shall we say to these things? What shall you say to your situations? What shall you say to your sickness? What shall you say to the trials and the tribulations of life, and to the things that you're struggling with, to the things that you're going with, what going through in life? What shall you say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Paul asked that question. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who is justifying you, church. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died. Yes, who is risen, who is also at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. The writer is saying, you're victorious. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? Who can do it and stand? Oh man, that brought chills over me because I see Jesus. He's standing there. Who's going to bring a charge against my child? Who is going to condemn you? Who can give you life? Who can give you death? Who can sustain you but me? Who can keep you but me? Jesus is saying, the Apostle Paul is saying in our text, no one, nothing can stand before our God. Jesus. Do you hear me, church? Hallelujah. Who is he condemned? It is Christ that dies. Who? Bring that accuser in here and I'll show you Christ. That's what the Apostle Paul is saying. Bring up my faults, devil. Who is the great accuser of the brethren? The devil. Bring Satan himself and let him stand before the people of God and say, I remember you did this. I remember you did that. I remember you said this. I remember you said that. And all of a sudden, Jesus is going to show up on the scene. And he's going to say, I died for that individual. They're covered under the blood. That's what the Apostle Paul is talking about in our text today. Do you get me today, church? Do you get it today? He's interceding for you. Who shall separate us? Who? Who can separate us from the love of God? The love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or the sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. No, in all these things we're more than conquerors through Christ, through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, neither angels nor principalities nor powers, neither things present nor things to come, neither height nor depth nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Grab a hold of this fact. God did not spare his son. He loves you so much that he sent his son to die and created this redemptive process that Jesus came down through 42 generations and hung on a cross and was placed in a borrowed tomb for you and I. But I'm so glad that he didn't stay in that tomb, but he rose on the third day with all power in his hands, and that he's seated at the right hand of God interceding for you and I. When you don't know how to pray, Jesus is praying for you. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. You better stand today in the house of God and give him some praise. The power of God is in this house. Hallelujah. Praise God. You want to be you and God today? You want to be delivered and set free? You want to know God's best for your life? Change your perspective. Fix your eyes on Jesus today. Fix your eyes on Jesus today. May God be glorified. May God be magnified. May God be exalted. And may the devil be horrified in this house today. May God's people be victorious. May God's people be victorious. May God's people be victorious. Who wants victory today? I don't know about you. I'm done. Fix your perspective. Trying to find it. The phrase more than conqueror is one word in the Greek. It is hooper nikomen. This compound word appears only in this verse. Hooper means over, above. Nikomen means victors or conqueror. Because God is for you, he will, through his Holy Spirit, give you the ability to rise above your circumstances and your situations. Isaiah 40 and 31, but those who trust in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. I don't know about you guys, but I want to soar on wings like eagles. I want to run and not walk. Listen, I want to do everything that God desires for me to do. I want to be everything that God desires for me to be. But I promise you today, guys, you can leave this church today with a messed up perspective, or you can fix your perspective, and you can come to the realization that no matter what I'm going through, no matter what I am facing, God is for me, and He is more than the whole world against me. Listen, we have to be like Gehazi, and we have to close our eyes under the command of the man of God and close our eyes. And the Bible says that Elisha began to pray, Lord, open his eyes so that he may see. Lord God, and when he opened his eyes, he saw the armies of God surrounding the armies of the enemy. Can I tell you today that if you just close your eyes and begin to talk to God, when you open your eyes again, you'll have a different perspective on life. You'll have a different perspective on your situation. You'll have a different perspective on your family. Do you believe that today? Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, may your spirit come into this place with power. Father, may our eyes be open. May we see your glory. There's been a whole lot of preaching here today. Said a whole lot of stuff. If the Holy Spirit has spoken to your heart today, will you slip your hand up in this place? I see hands up all over the house. I'm not going to make a specific altar call, but what I will do is ask you to find a place at the altar. And I'm going to pray that God would fix our perspective. You could only be successful as God fixed your perspective. Find a place around the altar, will you please? God's desire in the book of Exodus for all of God's people to meet him. And they would come to the foot of the mountain, but when they would come to the foot of the mountain, they would hear the loud thundering, and they would see the dark cloud, they would see the lightning, and they would hear the rumbling, and they would become afraid. The book of Hebrews talks about that mountain. Now, we don't have to approach that mountain. We could approach the throne of grace with boldness. We could approach God. We can approach God. Man, if I can approach God, if I can just get to his feet like that lady, if I can just lay at his feet, if I can just worship him at his feet. If I can get to the feet of Jesus, if I can grab hold of the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus, we need you, God. We need your spirit in this place. God, we don't want to remain the same, oh, Lord. Father, we want more you, God, less of us. God, we're here today, God, because we need to fix our perspective. God, we need to refocus, God. Our focus is too often on things that doesn't matter. Our focus is on things of the world. Our focus is on things, Lord God, that will not change us. God, we need to place our focus on you, God, the author and the finisher of our faith. God, you started this good work in us, God, and we know you're going to bring it to completion according to your word. God, every one of these people at the altar today, God, they're here, God, because there's something that they're dealing with in their lives, God. They need your help. God, they need you to help them. They need you to fix this. They need you to break these chains. They need you to loose them from the bondage, God. Holy Spirit, come into this place and set the captives free in Jesus' name. Whom the Son has set free is free indeed. May God's people be set free in Jesus' name. May we leave this place empowered by the Holy Spirit. May we leave this place with a different perspective on our lives. May we come to the realization that you, God, you see us. God, you love us with an unconditional love. And we are the apple of your eye. We make you smile. God, you're happy with us. God, you love us unconditionally. Be glorified, Jesus. May God's people be set free. Set free. In Jesus' name. There came a time in Jacob's life where he wrestled with the angel. He said, I will not let you go until you bless me. There are times that we need to beseech God. We need to stay before his face, not in a mean, vindictive way, not in an authoritative way, but because we trust him, we love him, we know that he's the only one that can see us through. We stand before him saying, God, I need you. I need you. I need you to fix me, God. I'm broken in this area. I'm hurting in this area. I'm confused in this area. I'm dazed in this area. God, set your people free, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Give it to him, church. Whatever you're facing, we receive that word, Lord. We receive that word. We receive that word, Lord. Give it to him. Give that burden to him. He's wanting to break that yoke off of your life. And he's going to give you an easier yoke to carry. Here today and you desire to give your heart to the Lord and you're at a crossroads right now. You're like, man, you've either walked so far away from God that you know you're not in a serious relationship with him anymore. You want to rededicate your life. You want to give your life to him. If that's you, will you raise your hand today? Raise it up high if you're raising your hand. I want to pray with you. We don't ever want to leave this church without giving a person an opportunity to give their lives to Jesus. Thank you all for being obedient to what God is doing. Feel like a change? Did a change come in your life today? Amen. Just by, I'm not going to ask you to say anything. Do you feel like God spoke to your heart today? Raise your hand, will you? If you feel like God spoke to you today, I just want to see. Amen. 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 I feel like God spoke loud and clear in this service today. I want you to understand something, that God just doesn't want to speak in this service. God wants to speak to you in the next hour, the next day, the next week, the next month, the next year. He's wanting us to make ourselves available to him. Amen. Amen. If you'll stand, I'm going to dismiss you and let you go home. Thank you for just your faithfulness. Thank you for your commitment to God's house. Just being obedient to his spirit. Greater things are yet to come. I promise you, greater things are yet to come. no matter if they don't. It's, you know, when the king threw those boys in the fire, he says, listen, king, even if he doesn't deliver us from this fire, he can. It doesn't mean that he can't. We know he can. We're still going to trust him until we scream our last breath. We're going to trust him. We're faithful. Father, today I pray that you would go with your people, God, consistently, continually pour your spirit out on us and reveal yourself to us. Strengthen us, God. We love you, Jesus, but we know you love us more than we love you. God, you're faithful, you're kind, you're gentle, you're merciful, you're good. And I ask you, Father, to bless your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you and thank you for being here.
Living Hope Assembly of God.